The first session in this series talked about the excellent husband. The second talked about the excellent wife. The third session, which was last week, talked about the raising excellent children. Then, today, we are looking at fight for your marriage. Fight for your marriage. And when the singles are listening to this message, you can be prepared as a good fighter. It is better to prepare for a fight than to be preparing in the fight. It is better to prepare for a fight than to be preparing in the fight. When you look at the military, they don't train people in the fight, they train them for the fight. They don't train people in the fight as a primary responsibility, but they are trained to fight. In Navy SEALs, there are various trainings. That prepares the Navy SEALs for the sea, for the air, and for the land. So they are always prepared ahead of the fight. And that's the same posture that the Lord wants us to have. A lot of marriages are suffering today because unprepared people enter into it. A lot of marriages are suffering in our time because unprepared people entered into marriage. So it's quite important that we realize that we are not too small to be prepared or too young to be prepared for it. And also for those of us who are already there, God is still sharpening us on how we can build excellent marriage. And that's why this is coming. I'd like us to take note this morning that every excellent marriage requires excellent fighters. Every excellent marriage demands a fight. And it calls for excellent fighters. In other words, every time you talk about excellent fighters, we are not just talking about fighters. We are talking about good fighters. Because there is a good fight and there is a bad fight. So marriage is not for bad fighters. Marriage is for good fighters. 1 Timothy chapter 6. And verse 12. 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 12. Fight the good fight of faith. So marriage is a good fight of faith. It's a layhold on eternal life whereunto thou art also called. I'll be talking about that eventually. The marriage is a calling. Marriage is a calling. A lot of people they don't go into marriage with understanding that marriage is a calling. When you know that marriage is what you are called into, you will fight for it. If marriage is not what you just choose by yourself, if marriage is not what you wish yourself into, you honeymoon yourself into, if marriage is what you see as a divine call, you will fight for it. So there is a good fight and there is a bad fight. Now, when you check 2 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 7, 2 Timothy chapter 4 verse 7, Paul said, I have fought a good fight. I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course. So marriage is also a course. Marriage is a mandate. Marriage is a mandate, is a cause. And he said, I have kept the faith. I have fought a good fight. So this morning, we are calling singles to get prepared for a marriage of a good fight. Marriage is beyond how we see it. Marriage is a call to a fight. And those of us who are already there, God is reminding us this morning that we should gather ourselves together and get set again to fight for our marriages. So every excellent marriage requires excellent fighters. And before we move on, I'd like you to take note of this, which is very important. Marriage is a union of two prepared and purposeful fighters. Marriage is a union of two prepared. I'd like you to take note of two prepared. Two prepared. So marriage is not a place where one is fighting. It's a place for a union of two prepared, a union of two prepared and purposeful fighters. Take note of the word prepared and purposeful. Prepared and purposeful. Every fight you don't prepare for, you have already lost it. Every fight you don't prepare for, is already lost before you engage in it. So, every fight requires adequate preparation. So, marriage is not for the unprepared. Marriage requires adequate preparation. And when you talk about fighting for your marriage, it is for the purposeful, a purposeful fight. 1 Corinthians chapter 9 verse 26. 1 Corinthians chapter 9 verse 26. Paul talked about a purposeful fight. A definite fight. He said, I therefore so run, not as uncertainly, so fight. Not so fight I, not as one that beateth the hair. So I don't shadow boxing. Beating the hair means you are shadow boxing. There are people in marriage, what they fight is unreal. They fight what is wrong. So they shadow boxing. Paul said the fight of purpose or the fight of life is a fight of purpose. When you want to make marriage work, you must fight for your marriage on purpose. Are we together? Excellent marriage requires fighting for your marriage on purpose. Fight for it on purpose. Fight for it on purpose. Fight for your marriage on purpose. So marriage is a union of two prepared and purposeful fighters. Not that one is fighting and another is sleeping. It's a union or a unified fight. This is very important. Our marriage will become excellent. And how I wish many of us and many of the members of this family are here to hear this. Very important. I think by the grace of God, we'll make the series of this audio Excellent Marriage series available so that people can listen to this over and over again. People are no longer purposeful about marriage. We are just whiling away our time in marriage. And that's why we are not getting it well, not only getting it right. Very important. So marriage is a union of two prepared and purposeful fighters who don't fight against each other. Marriage is a union of two prepared and purposeful fighters who don't fight against each other. We are not fighting against each other. The fight for your marriage is not a fight against your spouse, but for one another. And I'm going to tell us this is one major cause for wreckage in marriages. This point I just mentioned right now is one major reason for wreckages in marriage. People, couples fighting against one another, not fighting for one another. We are fighting against one another. We are not fighting for one another. So marriage can never be excellent until we understand that God has called us to fight for one another, not against another. Because in marriage that is going to be excellent, you have one common enemy, and that is Satan. Every marriage that is going to work, we must realize from the beginning that we have one common enemy to fight. Your husband is not your enemy. Your wife is not your enemy. Some people today now, they say to their wives, "You are the reason why I'm not making progress." She's not the reason. Every time a man thinks a wife is the reason, he himself is the reason why he's not making progress. What Satan has succeeded in doing to make marriage to wreck today is to see one another as enemies. And Satan hide behind the curtain. Keep seeing yourself as your enemy. Then you won't get it right. No matter how terrible your spouse is, it's not your enemy. You only have one hack enemy, and that's Satan. Satan can use anybody who is available, but that person is not your enemy, for we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against spiritual wickedness in high places. So every excellent marriage must be built on the understanding that we have only one enemy, and that enemy is Satan. So you have one common enemy. So we need to understand this as we begin to build upon it. I hope you are understanding these building blocks. Now, let's look at Matthew chapter 12 and verse 25. Matthew chapter 12 and verse 25. I'm praying tonight, this morning, as this word is coming forward, marriages are getting healed. In the name of Jesus. Matthew chapter 12 and verse 25. Very important scripture we need to continue to remember. Matthew 12, 25. And Jesus knew their thought. As today, he knows our various thought as spouses. And Jesus knew their thought. And he said unto them, every kingdom divided against itself is brought to desolation. Every kingdom divided against itself is brought to desolation, and every city or house divided against itself. Do you see that? Every city or house. So, house can be divided against itself. Marriage can be divided against itself. Like a kingdom can be divided against itself. Like a city can be divided against itself. A house can also be divided against itself. And he said, shall not stand. May our family stand. May our marriage stand. A lot of marriages are wrecked today because the house is divided against itself. To be divided against self means to fight self. It means Amos chapter 3 and verse 3, can two walk together except they be agreed? So to be divided against self simply means we are not in agreement. We don't have one purpose. We don't have one vision. We don't have one direction. We don't have one spirit. We are not in agreement. A lot of marriages today, people are only cohabiting inside one house that is divided into many pieces. A lot of people today, we go to church, and if you know how devil is attacking marriage today, he knows, of course, that the world is at its beck and call. So he wants to ensure that they don't get it right in the church. So you realize that how is he achieving his aim? He ensures that one house is divided against itself. The miracle of excellent marriage is agreement, is oneness. That's the desire of the Lord. That's what God wants to achieve in marriage. And for those of us who are here, and for those who may be watching online, are you achieving oneness in your marriage? Are you achieving oneness in your marriage? Is there unity of purpose? Is there unity of spirit? Is there unity of agreement? Are you achieving unity in your marriage? Are you accomplishing oneness in your marriage? This is important. A house that stands against itself will fall. That's what Jesus is saying. A marriage that is divided, a couple that is divided, they are destined to fall. You can't help what is divided against itself from falling. So some of the things we take care of in our marriages today, we better go back to the foundation and say it is time to achieve oneness. You can't make anything happen in a marriage that is divided. And a lot of marriages are divided before the divorce. A lot of marriages have already been divided. A lot of homes have been divided years before they ever come to the point of divorce. So before divorce is division. Before divorce is division. So you realize that when there is going to, divorce is just an expression of what has already taken place long ago. So fighting for our marriage means we refuse to be divided. Can we say that together? We refuse to be divided. Hallelujah. So no marriage that is divided against itself. Can you imagine? Not against others, against itself. Shall stand. I'd like you to understand this very morning that marriage comes with all its joys and sorrows. and it comes with its pain and passion. Marriage comes with its joys. It comes with its sorrows. One of the myths about marriage is that they live happily ever after. They live happily ever after. So there are no challenging moments. There are no times that they are challenged. Your marriage may be challenged, but your marriage should not fail. That's it. When you fight for your marriage, you rise above the challenges of marriage. When you fight, and this is what we need to understand from now. When we fight, when we refuse to be divided against one another, when you choose not to fight one another, but you choose to fight together, then definitely you will stand. I like to tell us some four factors in fighting for your marriage. Four determinant factors in fighting for your marriage. Number one is mindset. Everyone comes into marriage with a particular mindset. Everyone. And we need to understand this. As a matter of fact, for the singles, before you are ever going to take anybody to the altar, you have to understand the mindset of that person about marriage. Everyone enters into a relationship, enters into a transaction, enters into everything with a mindset. A mindset is mind set on something. A mind that is set on something. So defeat in marriage begins with wrong mindset. Our mindset, or our mind reset, must be strong from time to time if we are going to build excellent marriage. Our mind must be set on the right thing. The Bible says, set your mind on the things above. Set your mind. So our mind must be rightly set for our marriage to be rightly positioned. Our mind must be rightly set for our marriage to be rightly positioned. So it's very important. And there are four things you must know about mindset that people bring into marriage. Number one, resolute mindset. Resolute mindset. Some people come to marriage with the understanding, with the mindset that I am resolute. Marriage is not for when it is good right now, I stay, and when it is bad tomorrow, I leave and remarry. A resolute mind to stay faithful to your spouse. A resolute mind not to be in marriage, and also you are looking for others outside. A resolute mind to be pure. A resolute mind to make this marriage work. A resolute mind to give your best to your marriage. If you have a resolute mind, welcome to a beginning of excellent marriage. There are many people today who enter into marriage without a resolute mind. You have to be resolute. You have to be ready. From the day one of your marriage, you have to make up your mind. This marriage will work by the grace of God. God is going to give me everything that is required to make this marriage work. This generation needs resolute-minded people who comes into marriage. And if there's any work that God should be doing through us in developing young people for marriage in a time like this, is to prepare them to be resolute. To prepare them to be resolute. To be resolute means you are born your bridges. You are born the escape route. You are born it. You are saying, this marriage is going to work. Do you know why some marriages are not working? Because people enter into it with alternative mindset. When you enter marriage with alternative mindset, or you go on in marriage with alternative mindset, you are not ready to be a fighter. You have already set that marriage up for failure. Be resolute. Be resolute to forgive. Be resolute to overlook fault. Be resolute to serve your spouse. Be resolute to say, my marriage will not become a statistics, part of the statistics of failed marriages. I'm resolute. Somebody say, I'm resolute. I wanted to say that I am resolute. Mando shakatahanda. And number two, mindset is rational. Rational, rational. Some people come into marriage with a rational mindset. Mindset, rational. They want to think everything through. They want to think everything through. But I want to say here right now that marriage is not what you can think everything through. If you want to retain, you just want to be somebody who just want to like use your thinking for your marriage, then at the end of the day, you won't be able to go far. Because marriage is a mystery. Somebody call it a tree of mystery. He said you can't go through it. You must just go around it. That's what he calls marriage. He wrote a book and called marriage a mystery. You can't go through it. You just have to go around the mystery. What is the mystery saying? Go around it. You can't rationalize your marriage. If you begin to think, oh, this is it, this is that, you are going to go out of the mystery. The mystery. Marriage is a mystery. So some people want to come into marriage with a rational mindset. A plus A will give C. In the next 10 years, then it gives B. So when they enter 10, they enter 15, they enter 20, what they have rationalized has not come to pass. They said this thing is not working. Number three, mindset is called romantic mindset. Romantic mindset. Some people enter into marriage with eternal honeymoon mindset. So they believe that after the honeymoon, that is how it's going to continue. Romantic is a myth. It's something that is we don't understand. That's why when some people enter into that, they say it's going to be romantic. So when it is no longer romantic, then they believe that marriage is no longer working. Of course, we work towards romance. We develop romance as we go. What is romance? Romance is just a form of intimacy. Is just a form of you are scrolling around something. That's what romance is all about. You are all around it. So when you enter into marriage that is always going to be romantic, it's a mindset that must be checked. Because sometimes in marriage, you have to ensure that feelings will not keep you going. Faith will have to keep you going. You have to understand that feelings will not keep you going. Faith will keep you going. Because sometimes the romance you are looking for, the feelings you are looking for may no longer be there. But what will keep you going is faith. Faith will return romance. Number four, mindset that people always bring into marriage is restless. Restless. Restlessness. They come into marriage as a restless people, looking at marriage as a place to find rest. If you are restless before you are married, marriage is not a place to just find rest. Initially, you will find it. But coming into marriage as a marriage therapy to give you rest may become something that is a wrong mindset for you. So some people are restless and they believe that marriage will cure their restlessness. But most of the time, when some people restlessly entered into marriage, it continues. Number four mindset is reluctance. Reluctant mindset. Some people enter into marriage with a mindset of reluctance. They are not ready to contribute. They are not ready to give their best. They are pushed into it. When you are pushed into marriage, you should expect to be pushed all through it. When you are pushed to marry, when circumstance push you to marriage, when situation push you to marriage, when parents push you to marriage, you realize that you will always need something to keep pushing you through. So some people enter into marriage with a sense of reluctance, a mindset of reluctance. That's why when they're supposed to carry out some responsibilities, they are so reluctant to do. When they're supposed to arise to fight, they are reluctant to fight. Marriage is not for the reluctant. Are we together? Did you get all that I've shared with you this morning? How many things have I shared under a mindset? Mindset number one is word. Mindset number two is word. Mindset number three is word. Mindset number four is word. Mindset number five is word. So which one is the correct and most important mindset in the five? Resolute. That's great. When you are resolute, it doesn't matter. When you can't even understand what is happening, you move on. Number two determinant of how you fight for your marriage is expectation. Somebody say expectation. Yeah, expectation. Like I said, that people enter into marriage with mindset, people also enter into marriage with expectation. Do you have a witness in the house? Who enters into marriage without an expectation? That's a fool. So people enter into marriage with expectations. But many a times, the expectations of people for coming into marriage are always wrong. Or they are always inferior, or they are always imbalanced. And because of wrong expectation, they will not be able to fight for their marriage. I can ask you this morning right now and ask you, what are your expectations when you entered into marriage? I can ask you right now, for those who are single here, what expectations do you have about marriage? If I ask every one of us to write those things down now, then you begin to discover that we have different expectations. But there are four things you must also know, maybe three or four very quickly, about expectations in marriage. Number one is called incongruous expectation. Incongruous expectation. Incongruous expectation is highly important for us to know. Unaligned expectation. Unaligned expectation. One of the most important things for singles before we enter marriage is to have a congruent expectation. Find out from the person you want to marry, what are your expectations as we go into this marriage? Let the other person also ask you, what are your expectations? Then put your expectations down and go into the Bible and ask, what are the expectations of God about marriage? This is important. How many of us actually did that before we enter marriage? And how many people are doing that right now? So we enter into a marriage where somebody is coming with some set of expectations. Somebody is also coming with another expectations. You now realize that you have incongruent expectations. And instead for you to fight for one another, you begin to fight against one another. So we must have aligned expectations. We must bring our expectations to align with God's expectations. That is how we can now fight together. When your expectations align, you can fight the same fight. Are we together? Do you understand what I'm sharing with us this morning? Very important. I won't be able to finish this. I'll continue next week. Expectations. And even right now in our marriage, we can still go back and say, my wife, what are still your expectations? My husband, what are your expectations? Let's work on our expectations. And then let's all sit down and check our expectations in line with the expectations of God over this marriage. When we begin to engage in such exercises, you discover that we begin to have what is called excellent marriage. It will help us to know what we are fighting for. Number two expectation factor is unexpected inconveniences. Unexpected inconveniences. Singles go into marriage today without factoring in unexpected inconveniences that comes with marriage. So when some inconveniences come, they become unexpected to us. And we think, oh, this marriage is terrible. I've missed it. It's not the will of the Lord for my life. And you won't stand up to fight for it. But may I announce to every one of us here today, marriage is filled with unexpected inconveniences. That's what marriage is filled with. As we grow in marriage, as we grow in marriage, you realize that some inconveniences that you have never factored in, they are part of the journey, and you must do something about it. You must not allow unexpected inconveniences to put you off in marriage. You must not allow unexpected inconveniences to make you to think, no, this is not the right marriage for me. And number three factor expectation is marriage therapy expectation. Marriage therapy expectation. Thinking that if I marry him, he's going to make me happy. If I marry her, she's going to make me happy. Have you heard people saying they are looking for somebody who's going to make them happy? And tell them they will go too far. They can go and go and go. Looking for somebody who's going to make you happy? I think marriage is about looking for somebody you are also going to make happy. I'm not saying that it is bad to look for somebody who's going to make you happy. But you realize that in marriage, we expect marriage to be a therapeutic expectation. Some of us with our past, some of us with some of the things we have experienced in life, we want marriage to heal. Of course, marriage is a place of healing, but it takes time. It takes time. So don't enter marriage. If you enter into marriage and you discover that, wow, you are not getting the therapeutic expectation you need, that does not mean you should not fight for your marriage. Number four is dependent expectation. Dependent expectation. Some people enter into marriage. One of the reasons they cannot fight for their marriage is because they are dependent on the spouse. If he's not going to do something about this marriage, I do nothing. If it's not going to help me, then I look for every means. Marriage, we should not have dependent expectation, and we should not have independent expectation. We should have interdependent expectation. Did you get that? Very important. It's good to have dependent expectation when you get to a period that you know God has helped your marriage. It is good, but you realize that marriages will not work if we have dependent expectation all the time. It should be interdependent. Amen. So this is very important. I want to finish these four factors. Number three, determinant of how you fight for your marriage is reality. Everybody say reality. Everybody say reality. Yeah. And what I want to say here is that emotions does not drive excellent marriage. Emotions does not drive excellent marriage to a right destination. In other words, you have to face your present reality. And your present reality in your marriage is quite different from my present reality in my marriage. Your present reality in your marriage is quite different. That's why you can't begin to compare your marriage to another person's marriage. This is what you have expected, but this is now a reality. So, how do you bridge the gap between expectation and reality? Then I move to number four. Factor in fighting for your marriage, it is called adjustment. Everybody say adjustment. Yeah. We must learn to continue to adjust as the years of our marriage go by. We must learn to adjust to the reality. We must learn to adjust to the reality. Somebody said, and I'd like you to take note of this before I begin to stop right now, the success of marriage comes not in finding the right person. The success of marriage comes not in finding the right person, but in ability of both partners, in ability of both partners to adjust to the real person, the ability of both partners to adjust to the real person, they inevitably realized they married. The ability of both partners to adjust. So marriage that will be excellent requires constant, progressive adjustment. Because expect to continue to make some discoveries and be ready to adjust to the reality. Be ready to adjust by the help of the Holy Spirit. Be ready to adjust. Excellent marriage, fighting for your marriage will come in ability of both partners to adjust to the real person. They inevitably realize they marry. Reason for so many divided homes today and so many divorces here and there is the inability to come to a place of adjustment. Adjustment is not easy. Every time you want to adjust to anything in life, it's not easy. Adjustment takes the grace of God. Adjustment requires a price. Adjustment requires some long suffering. Adjustment requires some acceptance of personal defeat. Adjustment requires that you are comfortable to lose personally for your marriage to win. When you don't want to adjust, you want to win for your marriage to lose. Those who fight for their marriage don't look for win-lose. They look for win-win. When you win in your marriage and your spouse has lost, you are a loss. You have already lost. The plan of God for marriage is win-win. That's how to fight for our marriage. And this is where I want to stop today. Your mindset, your expectation, the reality, and your adjustment, they are very important to how you fight for your marriage. So next week, by the grace of God, we will enter into Fight for Your Marriage, Part 2. Fight for Your Marriage, Part 2, because I have quite some things I have in my spirit to discuss with us on this. And I want to encourage everyone. Please, nothing takes you from coming to this series very early. Very early. Nothing should stop you from making this series very early. Very early. When we have, none of us will ever go to the hospital and you are in pains and they prescribe a drug and you throw it off. The only way you throw it off is to accept a greater prescription, which is the word of the Lord, which is your faith in Christ. But you must accept something. You must accept a prescription. And for those of us who are not married yet, the best time to prepare is not when you are in the fight. Have you ever seen somebody, boxers, preparing in the ring? They don't. When I looked into where I was coming from, I knew preparation for my marriage must be deliberate. And up till now, I'm still learning. I still want to grow. I don't want to take it for granted. So when you have opportunity, when you can learn certain things, oh Jesus, take advantage of it. Take advantage of it. Take advantage of it. Take advantage of it. And the Lord will help everyone. In the name of Jesus. I'd like us to bow our heart and talk to the Lord. Lord, make me an excellent fighter for the fulfillment of your purpose for my marriage. Make me an excellent fighter. Make me a prepared fighter. Make me a purposeful fighter. In the name of Jesus. I want us to receive that grace right now. The Lord, my home, received the spirit of agreement. My marriage received the spirit of oneness. We will not operate as two anymore. Every time we operate as one in Christ. Myself, my spouse, and I want the singles to pray. Lord, the partner you are going to be giving to me, please, we will operate as one. In the name of Jesus. Glory be to the name of the Father. I speak life into marriages here. May every troubled marriage receive peace in the name of Jesus. May all singles here receive wisdom in the name of Jesus. And may all of us learn how to fight for our marriages in the name of Jesus. Glory be to the name of the Father, in Jesus' mighty name. I'd like you to welcome somebody very close to you and say you're welcome one more time.